Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James, here. I'm joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're joined right now by our good friend, Paul Trombley, from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, and good morning to you.
How's your Tuesday treating you?
Okay, how about yourselves there?
Not bad here. Not a lot of sunshine.
Right.
Yeah, but we're kind of getting used to that around here. What has Mother Nature got in store?
Yeah, it's really lacking sunshine here for the next few days still. But looks like we're also going to see some bouts of rain and some storm activity. I'm actually starting to see some of those showers and storms move in this afternoon. As that we head into tonight, still some of that activity as well. So it's kind of a cold, blustery day, though, as we stay with those east winds, 15 to 30, and the showers and some storms moving in this afternoon. Highs upper 30s. Winds out of the east tonight, still about 15 to 30 with some higher gusts. Showers, some thunderstorms, upper 30s through the night. And then on Wednesday, still seeing a few more showers, maybe a thundershower early. Highs at 53. Southwest winds gusty. Cloudy and blustery Wednesday night, 23 with a gusty west wind. Still cranked up with those west winds Thursday. Some breaks of sun developing up about 43 and then 47. Partly sunny Friday. And weekend temperatures in better shape. About 60 Saturday, partly sunny. Maybe a couple rain showers moving in Sunday. Highs mid-60s. And around 60 on a Monday. So we do settle into those warmer temps in the extended outlook to come here for us. But, definitely a kind of a cold, blustery morning here. And kind of odd to feel this cool out than looking at storms coming in this afternoon at the same time. So, yeah.
A little bit of a hodgepodge.
Exactly. Yeah.
Appreciate you, Paul. Thanks for the weather update. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good.
Best in the business right there. Our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Paul Trombley and the gang. Appreciate the update. Mm-hmm. Looking ahead, we've got some fun stuff coming up. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club is around the corner. We also got the percentage of people that say it's fine to start eating at a restaurant before everyone else.
Okay.
And we have some can't miss relationship advice.
Ooh.
I'm getting to that. Right now, spring is here, and it might be America's favorite season, but there are still plenty of things we dislike about it. So what's the worst thing about spring? A new poll found it, and we're going to go ahead and take a look. The survey was paid for by an allergy drug company, and everyone in it had allergies. So obviously that's going to be an issue. So that is number one on the list, allergies. 54% said that they're one of the worst things about spring.
I am so grateful I don't have allergies.
I'm as I'm getting older, I'm realizing I think I do have some.
Well, and they can develop at any age, so knock on wood.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't right now, but...
that ain't right. Like, that's not cool. Like, there's a that ain't right story. Allergies, like, either they're there or they're not. Like, you have a chance to show yourself when I'm young. Like, if you don't, you don't get to show up later. That's not cool.
It would also be cool if they got better at some point in life.
Yes, that would be cool, too. Yeah. Number two, spring cleaning. 44% of people dislike that.
Okay.
I'm a borderline neat freak. I don't mind cleaning, especially in certain moments. I notice that it's one of the ways I grieve. It's one of the ways I heal is like throwing some music on or just zoning out on cleaning. And I also look at it as a like for me, if my my apartment or wherever I'm staying, whatever is clean, my brain is less cluttered.
Yeah. Yeah. It does help you mentally feel better to have a clean domicile.
Something about and I'm not saying it's got to be completely perfect or anything like that, not a speck of dust or anything, but there's something about a clean environment that my brain just works better in.
Yeah, I think that's true for most of us.
Yeah. Unpredictable weather comes in at number three, tying with spring cleaning for 44%. Yeah. I mean, there's so much we want to do. We've been stuck inside and waiting for nice weather for months, and we finally get to it, and you make plans, and you're going to go see that ball game, or you're going to go see a concert, or just go meet friends or something like that, or go for a walk, and it rains.
It rains, or it's freezing rain.
Yes.
Or, it was 50 the day before, and all of a sudden you have a foot of snow.
Yeah, yes, just, yes.
It's like, the most frustrating.
Nature is a that ain't right story so often. Having to mow your lawn again. 42% of people get tired of that.
Yeah.
I will take mowing over shoveling any day.
True story.
Any day.
I would too. Agreed.
I don't, I've been mowing as long as I can remember, so I'll admit that. Like, I've mowed, I don't even know how many lawns I've mowed in my life. But I also have shoveled a lot in my life, too. And I've grown up in the Midwest. I don't know. Number five on the list, I'm a little shocked it's not higher. Mosquitoes, 41%.
Well, they usually don't show up until a little bit later, just because these, you know, fluctuations in temperature, they lay their eggs or they come out of wherever they come from, the depths of hell, I don't know. but then it freezes and they die off again. And so I don't think they're as much of a nuisance in spring as they get to be once we're, you know, not getting snow anymore.
Science has discovered today that mosquitoes literally come from hell. Devis is like, they're getting low on mosquitoes up there. Some of you guys get up there. Get up there. I like that. I like that.
Send them up some more.
Doing your taxes. 38% of people dislike that one. Yeah, that can be one of those ones.
Oh, mm-hmm. Not my favorite.
I will say that if you're able to, if you make a certain amount of money, you can go to myfreetaxes.com, and I find that a lot easier. And let me double check here. And yeah, so far so good. Tax man not coming after me. So far so good.
Hey, that's a bonus.
Dealing with daylight savings time. 37% of people dislike that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a transition.
I think there's a lot of people out there where you got that clock that you never took the time to fix, and now it's back to where it was supposed to be.
Now it's right again.
Yeah, yeah. And so let's just keep
it's
it
usually
here.
Usually the one in your car.
It's exactly that. Yes, it's the one in my car, and I know how to change it. I just don't take the time to do it.
Well, because it's not something you can do while you're driving. You'd actually have to sit somewhere in your car and spend the time to fix it, or have a passenger in your car to do it for you.
Yeah, I like my my Jeep. I guess I don't really spend a whole lot of time in it outside of obviously traveling. When I get in, I'm ready to go. I don't sit right there and futz for very long or anything.
Wait, what do I need to do before I drive? I'll remember. And then you're on my clock. Dang.
Yes. It's exactly that. That's exactly how it goes. Yeah, you're at least you're right at that point. You're the first stop sign or something like that. And yeah. Is there anything not on the list that you can think of?
I can't believe they didn't say mud.
Yeah, that's thank you.
Because mud is such a springtime problem.
Yeah, buying new clothes or finding clothes that fit, that can be a thing for people I know. And there's some other things here and there as far as like holidays or what have you. But yeah, the mud thing, like that's one that I would have thought would have been higher on the list or been on the list at all. But I,
because it's not like you can get out in your yard and start cleaning it up without having to deal with getting, stuck in the mud.
I think I would have put, when I'm looking at this list, I think I would have put mosquitoes number one. Like, out of all this stuff, the allergies are probably something that I am dealing with and I just don't even realize yet, or I need to get checked for and stuff. But the mosquito, everything else on this list is just kind of like, we can complain about it, but I'd rather have this in winter. So I'm not, to me, my brain is such a perspective kind of thing. I can't help it. I'm always comparing, like, well, it could be worse or it could be this. And to me, if we're just getting out of winter, it's hard for me to complain too much about spring things. Oh, shucks, I got to clean. Well, get to cleaning. It's nice that we got nice weather. At least you're doing it in nice weather.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Well,
and when you can open up your windows when you're cleaning, that's the best.
Yeah, there's nothing like that. Yeah. It helps make it go a lot faster. We're going to get moving. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We will be back doing some celebrating with our great friends over at Misty's Menu. Cannot wait. Looking forward to it. It's coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It's time to do some celebrating. with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. Let's get to it. We encourage you to get to it. Head on over to Misty's Menu. Treat yourself. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 Stead Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great birthday, a great day from all of us here at WFHR. We have a great list today, Melissa. Mm-hmm. I've got 4 possible candidates here.
Oh, good.
I need a 1 through 4.
Let's go with 3.
Okay, there we go. That gives us our qualifier. So we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a happy 42nd anniversary to Greg and Cheryl Romansky.
Oh, happy anniversary, Greg and Cheryl.
Yeah, big happy anniversary to those two. Hope they are enjoying their anniversary. Happy 42nd, you guys. And thank you so much for sending it to us and celebrating with us. We also want to wish a very happy birthday to Caden Pagel. Happy birthday, Caden. That's a great name, Caden.
Oh,
like
happy birthday, Caden.
It's a good name. Mm-hmm. A very happy birthday to Mary Carroll.
Happy birthday, Mary.
We hope you enjoy your day, Mary. Hope it's a great one for you. And our qualifier today, this is funny how this worked out. Melissa can't see the list or anything. Good friend of the radio station, of WFHR for a very long time, Natalie Ranke. Happy birthday, Natalie. And you are our qualifier, Nat.
Congratulations, Natalie.
Nat's been a longtime listener. We appreciate Natalie so much. I actually have a pen over here, a penguin pen from Nat that I carry with us all over from our studios and stuff. Big fan of Natalie, and we appreciate her. And that's she's our qualifier today.
Awesome.
So, first up, before we dive into the celebrity birthdays, let's go ahead and pull the Band-Aid off. For the audience that may have not noticed yet, we've got a bit of a delay happening with our clean feed here today. We're not used to that. So, if there's a little bit of a pause in the action, have fun with it, everybody. Go ahead and laugh. Have some fun. Getting into some celebrity birthdays here. Jamie Lynn Spears is 32, Zoe 101, and Britney's little sister. Ooh, great actor. Natasha Lyonne is 44 today. She is Nadia on Russian Doll. She's also Nikki on Orange is the New Black. One of those actors that I think most people have seen before. Maybe you don't know her name. You definitely know her voice. She's got a great voice. And I think she's just a really talented actor.
Yeah, I thought she was really expressive in that the Russian Doll.
Yeah, so. Yeah. She's very good in that, yeah. James Rodé is 47. Mm-hmm. Sean on Psych. Many people know him now as Gary on A Million Little Things. Great actor. A natural actor. Natural talent. I was dating somebody that really liked the TV show Psych, and I didn't really care, so I just started watching it and everything. And I really loved the chemistry between the lead actor, all the lead actors. And James Rodé really carried that show very well. I thought he did a really good job with it. I was happy to see him get the role of Gary on A Million Little Things. That's a big gig for him, and probably more gigs coming forward after that one. The quote-unquote magician, David Blaine, is 50 today.
Oh.
I have a hard time calling him a magician. An escape artist, possibly. I could see that a little bit. But
American illusionist?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that seems fair. I'm okay with that. But a magician, no. Like, I don't understand. Like, so one of his bits was putting himself in a clear box held up in the sky, and he fasted for 30 days or 10 days or whatever it was and everything. Like, okay, what's the trick? Like, well, what are you doing here? Like, that's not even an illusion. You're just up there torturing yourself. Like, how is that magic? Like, that's that doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't seem entertaining. I don't understand. And somebody who really likes the smell and likes David Blaine. The biggest fan of David Blaine is David Blaine. But happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Jill Scott is 51. Awesome, awesome, wonderful singer, songwriter. Also not a bad actor. She's won some Grammys. She was in, she's in a couple movies and TV shows and everything. She's gotten into the acting game and doesn't do a bad job, but I really like her as a singer. Very good
her
singer.
Her music is great.
Yeah, yeah, I love her voice. One of the better people I've ever worked with, and let me just pick up that name that I just dropped. Robert Downey Jr. is 58 today. Love you 3000, Mr. Downey. I have mentioned before that I'm in Iowa, and I've never been in Iowa before. And it's about 1 in the morning. We're on a bridge, and we have a scene to film, but we're waiting for the rain to settle. There's this light rain coming down. There's about 20, 30 extras. The director, one of the producers, and I get there, and I'm early. And I get there, and I see all this commotion and everything, and I can't see what's going on. And I get closer and closer, and there's this guy bopping around like he's on like he's on a pogo stick. And it's Robert Downey Jr. And he's just trying to keep everybody's spirits up. They were supposed to start filming, and weren't able to. So he didn't want everybody, like, he could have went in his trailer. He could have went, you know, head out and everything like that. He's got his makeup done and all this. Instead, he's in the rain with everybody just hanging out. We finally get a chance. We get this little bit of brief moment, and I've only got 4 lines with him. And we got to get this scene done. This is the movie The Judge. And we've got to get this scene done, and we got to get moving here and everything. So we're trying to get it going, and him and I are like stepping on each other, and I see my career flashing before me, and I think I'm never going to work again or anything like that. And he looks at the director, puts up a finger, and then he like takes me by the arm, not like forcefully, but just like over to like 5 feet, 10 feet away. And I figure he's going to lay into me, and I'm ready for it. I'm okay with that. I have a job to do, and I'm not doing it. Where are you from? That's what he asked me. He's like, where are you from? So and I'm stumbling, like, first time in my life. Like, I'm from over here. I'm from Chicago and stuff. He's like, oh, that's cool. I love that place. Great city and stuff. We just talked for, like, maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Didn't talk about work. Didn't talk about the scene, anything like that. Just talked. And then we went and filmed the scene and got it on the second take.
Nice.
I've spent maybe an hour around that man total, and I will never forget it. Because of just his givingness, his nature, the way he was so not only approachable and no ego, but how he didn't just care about me in the scenes, but he cared about the extras. The mood he was in. Like, I don't know how you can't root for a guy like that. A guy who has made a comeback story for the ages. There was a point in time where Robert Downey Jr. was one of the next big things, and people were really rooting for him. And then he wasn't that great on set. People didn't like working with him too much. He could be a bit of a, not a diva, but just not showing up on time and certain things. And to the point where he's doing lesser and lesser roles. Then, of course, he gets in trouble. He winds up in a stranger's, like, breaks into a house and wakes up in, like, it was his former kid house, and he wanted to go in it, and wakes up in some stranger's bed and everything. He's in court. All these things are going on, and all that happens, and now he's Iron Man and Sherlock Holmes. Just as amazing as Robert is, his wife trumps him and is even more amazing, and is also his production partner. And they have a production company now that are kicking out movies like crazy. And it's just a comeback story that I don't think we've ever heard of before that we've seen. We've seen a lot of comeback stories. America loves a comeback story. I don't think you've seen one like Downey. And it's pretty impressive to me. And I don't think it could happen to a better guy.
That's good.
David Cross is 59 today. Arrested Development, Mr. Show, a voice actor, incredible voice actor, incredible comedian, too. I love David Cross. Huge fan. Mr. Show, one of my top favorite sketch comedy shows of all time. Roby Wrist is 59. He was Cousin Oliver on The Brady Bunch. Graham Norton is 60, famous British talk show host. Very, very good at what he does from everything I've heard. I haven't watched a whole lot of interviews with Graham Norton, but basically everybody that you enjoy has been on Graham Norton's show. Everybody wants to do his show. They go over across the pond and they got to do the Graham Norton show.
Yeah.
The great, the wonderful Hugo Weaving is 63 today. Elrod, the Elf King in the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies. Agent Smith in Matrix movies. Mr. Anderson. Megatron, the first Yes, Transformer.
You did a really good job with that.
The Red Skull in Captain America, but I believe his greatest performance is V for Vendetta. Acting divorce that he gives you behind that mask is incredible. I'm a big Natalie Portman fan. She's one of my favorite actors in the world. And I go into it to see that and to see what this movie is. The Wachowski brothers had done The Matrix. And so I was really impressed with those movies. So I wanted to see this. I came out of it. And I think Natalie Portman is a top 15, top 10 actors in the world. I genuinely think that. I think she is that talented. She, in that movie, Hugo Weaving, behind a mask, takes over almost every scene, like blows almost every scene away. He's so good in it. I mean, I think for a lot of people out there, even if you're not an actor, you can kind of get how difficult it would be to act behind a mask. But to, especially to my fellow actors, you get this. You understand the difficulty in this. His performance is for the ages. And it's not necessarily the greatest movie you're ever going to see. It's an action movie and everything. I enjoy it. But I think if anything, you take out of that movie, his performance is amazing.
Wow.
David E. Kelly is 67, superstar writer, producer, HBO's Big Little Lies, Ally McBeal, The Practice, Boston Legal, Boston Public. I didn't know this. He's married to Michelle Pfeiffer. I didn't know that.
Oh, interesting.
Coach is 79. Craig T. Nelson is 79 today. Mr. Incredible in The Incredibles.
Wow.
He's the dad in Parenthood. Of course, Coach is how a lot of us know him. But I remember him as the dad in Poltergeist.
Oh.
Very. I just remember it as a kid. It was on TV all the time, and always enjoyed his work. A great actor. Very good actor. Mr. Clive Davis is 91, recording business legend. So I'll mention him as well. So now we get to some people that are no longer with us, and this is quite the list today. First up, the great, the wonderful, my favorite poet of all time, Maya Angelou, born on this day in 1928, passed away in 2014. Author, poet, and just one of the most incredible human beings I think that I've ever read about. Maya Angelou didn't speak. She was raped at a very young age and did not speak for a long time because the man that raped her, she told people, and that man was brought to justice and killed. And she thought that her words caused that. So for years, she did not speak and eventually started to. And when she did, she found her voice. And the rest of the world will thank her for that. There are some of the greatest words you'll ever read are written by Maya Angelou. Precious jewel, you glow, you shine, reflecting all the good things in the world. Just look at yourself. Maya Angelou. I could spend literally the whole show giving you Maya Angelou quotes. I could read Why the Caged Bird Sings for you. I would while our ratings would probably take a plummet, possibly, I would enjoy the heck out of it. I don't know.
She has so many good quotes. Like, do the best you can until you know better. When you know better, do better.
Good one. Okay. Courage is the most important of all virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently. You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. That's so good. It's so good. On this day, also, Heath Ledger, born in 1979, passed away in 2008.
Way too young.
This is a man who never comfortable necessarily in the public eye, but loved acting and really enjoyed performing and was beginning to become more and more comfortable with the public eye. Heath Ledger, I thought, was one of the better actors I've seen. I didn't know a whole lot about him, though, until his passing. There are so many actors that have this diva mentality, this ego, the Daniel Day-Lewis's of the world, where when they're playing Lincoln, even when there's lunch, like, he's still Lincoln, and you can't talk to him. You can't, like, whether you're an extra or another actor, like, there's these levels that some actors go to that I find so unnecessary. And really, I actually think that they hurt the craft. Then there's guys like Heath Ledger, where you watch the Dark Knight, and it's arguably one of the greatest performances of the Joker you'll ever see. What was Heath doing during breaks? Riding his skateboard and playing practical jokes on people, and having fun and trying to make sure that everybody on set was laughing and in good spirits. He did it in 10 Things I Hate About You. He did it in The Dark Knight. Like, that was the way the kid was. And his performances weren't hurt from it. I learned from him. I became a better actor because of Heath Ledger, because of hearing stories like that and realizing, wait a minute, how am I when I'm in a play or something like that? I usually keep to myself. I'm going over my lines like crazy. Like, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be approachable. I want to be hang out and have fun. I want my castmates to enjoy themselves. Heath Ledger taught me that. And the great Anthony Perkins, born on this day in 1932, passed away in 1992. Of course, famous for Psycho.
Oh, yes.
And one more time, we want to wish everybody a happy anniversary or happy birthday, celebrating everybody that we celebrated with. Happy 42nd anniversary to Greg and Cheryl Romansky. Happy birthday to Caden Pagel. Happy birthday, Mary Carroll. And a happy birthday to our qualifier, Natalie Ranke.
Yes, happy birthday and congratulations.
We encourage you to sit around, sit back and listen to Melissa's news. And otherwise, head on over to Misty's Menu. Treat yourself. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa and James here with you and a computer that doesn't want to work with me.
Of course not.
Why would it? Why would it? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like we need technology or anything.
No. Yeah, well, it's fine when things don't work, you know, like internet, computers.
It will be fine. I'm sure everything will work out just fine. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Melissa and James here with you. One of them mornings. Definitely one of those mornings. We got some fun stuff to get into. I want to touch on this one right here. What's your policy on people starting to eat at a restaurant before everyone has their meal? How do you feel about this one, Melissa?
I don't think it's a bad thing because sometimes they try to bring out the food at close to the same time, but sometimes you're going to get your food and then 5 minutes later, other people will. So I don't have a problem with it, but yeah, meal time isn't what it used to be.
True, true. I don't know what it is in me. This drives my mother crazy. I have dinner with my folks at least once or twice a week, and I'll go over there and say we make a meal or we order something or whatever. I make sure that they get their stuff first, and then I go and grab mine. I've done that whether it's a made meal or, you know, whatever. I've always been that way. It drives my mother absolutely insane, especially because I'll be there first, but I don't grab my food first, and she's like, Jimmy, just grab it. I don't know what it is. I just don't. I for some reason have never been that kind of guy. I just I don't know. I let everybody get their food first.
Well, I think it depends on how many people you're talking about at a restaurant. Like if you're with one other person, then yeah, you should wait. But if
that
you're with like a table of 10,
yeah,
then yeah, not so much.
And that I think that's a good way to put it. A website conducted a survey on quote-unquote controversial restaurant behaviors and asked people if they thought these things were cool or not cool. Thousands of people weighed in, and here are a few results. 62% of people say it's not cool to start eating before everyone's food has arrived, unless the waiter has specifically said that there will be a delay.
Mm.
Ah, yeah. That.
Okay.
38% say it's cool to start eating before eating your food ASAP. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it also depends, too, on if you get a salad before your meal, but whatever the other person ordered, they're not getting one. A cup of soup or something.
Appetizers are,
eating before, if they're not getting that kind of item or something. I don't know.
If picking at your food counts either, you know, like you grab a fry. Like, I don't know. That seems okay, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
87% of people say it's not cool to argue with a host about wait times because you see empty tables if you don't have a reservation.
Yeah, that's not cool. You have no idea what's going on back of house or what they have in their reservation books. Just because you see an empty table doesn't mean you get it.
I've had a couple of first dates that while we continued on the date, it ended right there. But it might as well have ended right there. We could have, you know, saved each other some time and gone our separate ways. I got no time or no respect for somebody that doesn't respect a wait staff or a cooking staff. Now, I know it's frustrating to wait, or I know it can be, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's plenty of things that could be. Sometimes you just have a bad server or something mm-hmm. like that, or maybe you're at a bad restaurant or something, I still am not going to treat them poorly. Will I leave a bad review or something like that? Yeah, sure, maybe. But those I don't know enough about the situation to know who's at fault here or any of those things. And I'm darn sure not going to blame somebody that's making less than minimum wage for sure. any of this, who clearly doesn't have any power in the situation.
Well, not only that, it's not like it's life or death. And if that's the case, like if you say you're diabetic and you need to eat, well, then bring food with you and have it with you at all times. If it's that vital that you eat at a specific moment, or eat at home.
Yeah, eat at home. Yeah. You got people making your food for you. You know, quit complaining. Mm-hmm. I know you're paying for it, and you deserve to, you know, get a good meal and all that. I don't disagree with any of that. But again, hold your tongue.
And especially right now, because there's such a shortage in so many restaurants and so many like food establishments, and they're doing the best they can with not enough staff.
What does complaining really resolve anyway? Say you get a free burger, you get a free meal out of it. Great. Wonderful. I'm so happy for you. What disaster did you leave behind you, though? What did you do to get that free meal? Was it worth
it? And what ill will did you just bring onto yourself?
Yeah, because I while I'm not a gigantic believer in many things in this world, I am a big believer in karma. I believe you get what you put in. What you put out in the universe, you get it twofold.
Yeah.
So that stuff has a way of finding itself back around.
You. Yeah.
82% say it's not cool to bring in outside food unless it's specifically allowed. There are legitimate exceptions like food allergies. Outside of that, though, no. What are you doing?
No.
What are you doing?
That's silly. Yeah.
I first move up here. I'm in sixth grade, and you know I'm trying to make friends, and I'm not very good at it. And we were having tacos, and I thought, well, we don't have taco sauce or anything like that at school, so I'm going to bring taco sauce. I thought, you know, this would be a great idea. This would be fun. And you know, I could share it with people and this would be a way to, like, make friends and stuff. Like, I legitimately thought this. This is how bad at friend-making I am. So I bring it to there, and I'm friends with, like, a couple people, but most of the boys in the class I'm not friends with, but they all of a sudden, they see the taco sauce. They take the taco sauce, put it in an apple, and chuck it into a girl's locker.
What?
And it explodes. The locker was random, but they just happened to pick a locker of this girl who had a white leather jacket in her locker.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, yep. And guess who took the biggest hit out of all of this for bringing the taco sauce to school?
Poor James.
Yep.
That could not have ended worse.
No. Could not have seen that one coming.
You started the story, and I was like, you know, that's not a bad idea. I like taco sauce on tacos. Why wouldn't they have it? I'd totally bring it, too. Never mind.
See, I think that did a number on me, because I've never brought a food or anything like that. I don't even know if I bring food to a picnic. I don't know.
Or maybe if you bring taco sauce somewhere, do the packets.
Yeah, there you go.
You got minimal damage there.
No apples.
No apples.
58% say it's not cool. 73% say it's not cool to ask for something that's not on the menu. Again, there are reasonable expectations like allergies or dietary restrictions. Most places should at least allow you to remove items you can't eat.
Yeah. I have a really hard time with this one because I'm one of those that I don't want to be needy or you know, order something off the menu that's not, you know, on there. So I usually, my first thing I do is I look through the menu and I look for something that I don't have to make any alterations on.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not available to me, then, you know, I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to get this sandwich, but you know, no cheese and no tomato. Because that's a pretty easy thing if you're taking stuff off. But yeah, I'm not going to go through and ask them to make me a whole different thing.
I'm really bad at inconveniencing people.
Same.
I think I am probably going to have to, if my this kidney stone thing keeps up, I might have to go to the walk-in today. And I probably could have done this a day or two ago, realistically. But I've got work to do. And if I don't get that work done, it's not going to get done. It gets put on somebody else's plate that can't do it. And I'm not talking about the radio station here, but other things. And I want to inconvenience those other teachers and stuff. So I'm just going to, you know, push through and I'll be all right, you know, in an hour or two. And I'll get through. Like, I take this to a bad level. Like, I understand
it's not
that.
Not good for your health, James.
No, it's not smart either. So to the point of where I think Melissa was going and where I took it to an extreme, you deserve this. I think there's a difference in complaining and being like, hey, I don't like tomatoes. Can I have no tomatoes on this? That's understandable.
Right. And especially when it's a food intolerance or a food allergy. And those are legitimate reasons to ask for changes. And there's really nothing wrong with asking for changes, but if you rebuild the whole sandwich or menu item with the waitress, it might not go as you planned.
I've only worked one fast food job in my life, and it was at KFC. And I remember, like, the first month I was there or whatever, somebody coming in, and I'm in the back, and I hear them, and they're like, what do you have that doesn't have chicken? What are you doing in this building? Why are you in this building?
We can give you bread.
Yeah, I mean, we got buns. I don't know. We got you want some coleslaw? You want some... 58%
potato wedges.
There you go. 58% say it's not cool to tip less than 20% if the services was good. Those who said it's fine may have a lower default tip. It's not that they refuse to tip.
Yeah, and tipping has kind of gotten a little bit out of control. I mean, yeah. I don't think it's okay for them to have tip jars at places where they should be paying servers a living wage.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, it's not a server's wage, which in this state is like two something an hour, which is just ridiculous.
To the people that don't think we have to raise minimum wage, I want you all to take on minimum wage. I want you to live on a minimum wage. Work on minimum wage. Yeah. And don't tell me, I did when I was 18 or whatever. That was it. Well, that was then. I'm talking about now.
Prices were a lot different then.
Yeah, and you had a lot less responsibilities then, and you had a lot less on your plate then, and those things. Like, the only people that are saying that minimum wage is just fine are people that don't have to worry about it.
Right. Well, and then the thought process of, well, then you should just get a better job. Okay, well, who's going to work all those jobs then? There's a lot of jobs that only, and to be fair, most places pay better than $7.25 an hour. A lot of places pay, you know, at least $9, $10, some as much as $12 or $15. It just depends on what they're able to afford, if it's a small business or what have you. But some of these national chains could afford to go $15, no problem. But because they look at the wage in the area and go, we don't have to do that. We can go kind of like $12 is going to be good enough. We'll get people to work for us for that. But that is still not a living wage.
Look, on paper, it used to make sense. You start at this level and you work your way up in a company or a business or whatever. And eventually, you know, by the time you're such and such age, you're making a fine living and everything. That was the American dream. That was the way that it was supposed to be on paper. All the other outside factors have changed this. Greed has changed this. There is an overwhelming, uncomfortable and unreasonable balance, imbalance between the haves and the have-nots. And the haves are continuing to not only be more greedy, but to be less open to the idea of changing these things, of losing even a penny of that wealth of theirs.
Because, you know, $1 billion isn't enough.
Yeah,
they need to have more. And that's it's I'm
not
sorry, a, nobody needs that much
it's,
money.
It's not enough that I can, that I'm the richest man in the world. I've got to be able to fly to not even space, just right above the Earth's atmosphere. Like, I got to be able to do that because that really needs something. Yeah. That's necessary. You know, forget about feeding the hungry. Not,
right. And you know what's not the answer to this problem? More child labor. That is not it.
No.
We expect so much out of our children already. just surviving in this world with social media and everything that they have to deal with school shootings and all of the pressures that are on our kids. Let's not also say, yeah, well, you know, and it's okay if you work until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, because school isn't all that important. It's more important that we fill our worker shortage with 14-year-olds. That is unacceptable.
I was 8, 9 years old, worrying about money, worrying about rent, worrying about paying bills. Is that what you want? Is that what you want your kids to have? That you want them to grow up like that? You want them to grow up fast like that? Because trust me, take a look at me. You don't want your kids growing up like this. You don't want that. You know.
Well, and the sad reality is, James, that happened to you when you were young, and there is a large percentage of our population in the nation, but also in Wisconsin, that have dealt with poverty, that have dealt with not being able to make ends meet, and now that's just getting worse. And there's more families that are dealing with that, and more children that are living in that kind of environment that doesn't set them up for success.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back and get into some more fun stuff. We got some relationship advice we got to touch on. That's coming up.
We're going to fix all your relationship problems.
It's all done. We got it all covered. We're going to fix it right here. Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great morning out there, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Melissa and James here with you. And we're going to have some fun in this next segment because we're going to get into relationship advice, Mel.
Oh, good.
Because we want to fix everybody. We want to fix all those issues that you got out there. And boy,
we have all the answers.
You know, having me on this call, that's what you really need. You need me. I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe Melissa will be able to help us. Maybe this article will be able to as well. Let's go ahead and dive in. Here's a piece of advice from Dr. John Gottman, a psychologist who specializes in marriage and relationships. When you and your significant other start fighting, you just both need to pause for a second and immediately strip down naked.
Okay, that's a method.
Here's why it's smart. When we get into arguments, our caveman brains go into fight or flight mode, and we acting out on instinct. That's why we start yelling, saying terrible and hurtful things, and not listening or even thinking.
Mm.
And that latter part, I think, is very important in the process here, the thinking part.
Yeah.
But when you get naked, you pull your brain out of that tailspin. Suddenly, the situation feels too weird for you to keep going down to the instinctual, hurtful path. So you can keep arguing naked, but you'll both be more in the moment and more likely to listen to each other, act rationally, and diffuse the tension.
Okay, so somebody following this advice, this couple's shopping, they're at the mall, and she wants to buy this purse, and he's like, you know, you already have 27 purses. What do you need another purse for? And they start going at it. Pretty soon they're naked, and the cops show up.
Yes, yes.
I don't think that would end well.
What do you want, officer? We were fighting.
This is what our therapist said we had to do when we fight.
Look, Dr. Gottman said we...
This was recommended by a top psychologist.
One of the weirder things that my dad ever had me do was learn to fight in my boxers. Fighting in general is obviously something that is difficult, but it goes from our primal instinct. But where I was growing up and everything, I didn't have, I was usually the skinniest guy around and one of the youngest. My dad wanted me to be able to handle myself, but be able to handle myself in any situation. Okay. And, you know, we lived in the projects. I mean, people break into your house and stuff at night. So you got to be ready to go if it's midnight and somebody's busting in or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think all that in theory, in the, you know, and on paper and stuff makes a lot of sense. And then there's actually having to, like, do it.
Yeah.
And there's being 9, 10 years old in front of your father. And we're not wrestling, we're boxing. But you just, you feel so weird. But it was such a good, like, it didn't only help me with that. It helped me get more comfortable with my body, helped me get more comfortable. Yeah. Like when I would later on be in football or basketball or something, and you have to, you know, shower with other guys and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, none of that was a big deal to me or anything like that because of what my dad did early on.
Well, it definitely puts a level of vulnerability out there.
There's one other thing I think of with this, too. It reminds me of there was an argument for a while in football to make it safer. They should go back to leather helmets. Like that part of the reason that people are so brave and brazen on the field is because they've got this safety precaution, this helmet thing that they feel safe in, and that they wouldn't be as blazing if they didn't have that helmet. They didn't have the face mask and everything. I don't think we need to prove that one. I don't think that's one we should test. But it reminds me of that. It reminds me of this idea of stripping down, literally stripping down in this situation, but stripping down that layer of emotions and getting to the root of it.
Well, and obviously the example that I said, you're not going to do this in a mall or somewhere public. You're going to do this at home. And to be fair, that's if couples fight, that is typically where they happen because you, at least for, I would say, the majority of us, try not to air our dirty laundry, which has a different connotation in this conversation, in public. Like, you try not to get into arguments in front of other people. So, you know, if you're saving it up and you get home and you know a fight is brewing, you're like, all right, let's do this like strip poker, okay? We know we've got something brewing we need to talk about. The moment one of us gets heated, you got to take your shirt off.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
And then the next one gets a little heated. Now they got to take their shirt off and just progress that way until you can talk rationally. I don't know.
I will say one that ain't right part of this is it's already difficult for a man to win an argument. I think it'll be virtually impossible in this situation. I think it'll be. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But I
it would add an element of challenge.
And couples fight. Fighting, I wouldn't say is healthy, but it's not. It probably isn't that healthy to not fight ever either.
You got to have those discussions. You got to have constructive conversations. Fighting isn't always, you know, when we think about fighting, it is not listening, like you were talking about earlier. Getting into that mentality of you're just spewing stuff out. You're not even thinking about what you're saying. You're just saying stuff. So, taking a fight and bringing it back to let's actually have a discussion about this. That is a much healthier way to deal with differences.
If
taking your clothes off makes that happen, well, there you go.
Yeah. I don't, I'm not a, I don't believe anybody in the world should ever settle or anything like that. But I do think we give up on each other too easy these days. I think that there are situations where wouldn't you rather be able to look in the mirror and say you tried? You know, you tried everything, and maybe you're in that situation where you've got somebody, you really like them, but you fight a lot. Why not give this a shot? What's the harm? You've already seen each other naked. I mean, it's not a big deal.
I would hope.
You would hope. Yes, you would hope. If you are fighting a lot and you haven't seen each other naked yet, what are you doing?
It's time.
Yeah. I think it might be part of why you're fighting so much.
I mean, and obviously this is in with someone you're in a relationship.
Yes.
Don't try this at work.
Yeah, well, yeah, guys, don't try this with the guy that you don't agree with politics-wise.
Although that could make things rather interesting.
I take it back. Yes, I want that. Maybe that's the way we get rid of all this these grown adults
animosity.
Acting like children. Yes, and fighting with each other and everything. You want to fight in public for politics and during politics? That's fine, but you have to legally be stripped down to your tidy whities. Like that's the legal. Like you have to. Like I actually. I don't mind that idea.
Keep some clothes on, but...
Yeah, oh, definitely some clothes.
Change the tenor of things, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. We will take a break. When we come back after CBS News, we're going to be joined by Shelby the Pet Nanny. She's going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.